Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. You'll find in your yellow book on your stand a copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, literally a copy of a copy. And today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishmadev, and it's text number 23. And you'll have to tell me which page you're on. Sixth page, what? 36. Bhaktya, with devout attention. Avesha, meditating. Manaha, mind. Yasmin, in whose? Vacha, did Chris get the page? You are, okay. By words. Yat, Krishna. Nama, holy name. Kirtayan, by chanting. Tyajan, quitting. Kalevaram, this material body. Yogi, the devotee. Muchite, gets release. Kama karmabhi, from fruit of activities. Translation. The personality of Godhead, please repeat. Who appears in the mind of the devotee. By attentive devotion and meditation. And by chanting of the holy name, releases the devotee from the bondage of fruit of activities at the time of his quitting the material body. Bhaktyavesha mano yasmin vachayan nama kirtayan Chajan kalevaram yogi muchyate kama karma bihi bhaktya vesha mano yasmin vachayan nama kirtayan Chajan kalevaram yogi muchyate kama karma bihi Bhaktya Vesha Mano Yasmin Vachayan Nama Kirtayan Tyajan Kalevaram Yogi Muchate Kama Karma Bhi Bhaktya Vesha Mano Yasmin Vachayan nama kirtayan Tyajan kalevaram yogi Muchyate kama karma bhi Bhaktya vesha mano yasmin Vachayan nama kirtayan Tyajan kalevaram yogi Muchyate kama karma bhi Bhaktya vesha mano yasmin Vachayan nama kirtayan Tyajan kalevaram yogi Muchyate kama karma bhi Bhaktya Vesha Mano Yasmin Vachayan Nama Kirtayan Tyajan Kalevaram Yogi Muchyate Kama Karma Bhi Translation again. The personality of Godhead who appears in the mind of the devotee by attentive devotion and meditation and by chanting the holy name releases the devotee from the bondage of fruitive activities at the time of his quitting the material body. Ladies? Bhaktyavesha mano yasmin. Vachayan namakirtayan. Tyajan kalevaram yogi. Muchate kama karma bihi. Yatavesha mano yasmin. Vachayan namakirtayan. Tajan kalevaram yogi. Muchate kama karma bihi. Purport. Yoga means concentration of the mind detached from all other subject matter. And actually, such concentration is samadhi, or 100% engagement in the service of the Lord. And one who concentrates his attention in that matter is called a yogi. Such a yogi, devotee of the Lord, engages himself 24 hours daily in the service of the Lord, so that his whole attention is engrossed with thoughts of the Lord in ninefold devotional service, namely hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, praying, becoming a voluntary servant, carrying out orders, establishing a friendly relationship, or offering all that one may possess in the service of the Lord. By such practice of yoga or linking up in the service of the Lord, one is recognized by the Lord himself, as is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, concerning the highest perfectional stage of samadhi. The Lord calls such a rare devotee the best among all the yogis. Such a perfect yogi is enabled by the divine grace of the Lord to concentrate his mind upon the Lord with a perfect sense of consciousness. And thus, by chanting his holy name before quitting the body, the yogi is at once transferred to the internal energy of the Lord, to one of the eternal planets where there is no question of material life and its concomitant factors. In material existence, a living being has to endure the material conditions of threefold miseries, life after life, according to his fruit of work. Such material life is produced by material desires only. Devotional service to the Lord does not kill the natural desires of the living being, but they are applied in the right cause of devotional service. This qualifies the desire to be transferred to the spiritual sky. General Bhishma Dev is referring to a particular type of yoga called Bhakti Yoga. And he was fortunate enough to have the Lord directly in his presence before he quitted his material body. He therefore desired that the Lord stay before his view in the following verses. We'll chant the Mangalacharana prayers. You'll find in the songs of the Vaishnavacharyas. Why do we chant? There's three reasons why we chant Mangalacharana. Three purposes to any Mangalacharana. Do you know what they are? Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. To invoke the benediction, invoke auspiciousness. Another reason? Another reason is?
It's supposed to indicate the theme of the
Yeah,
of the
tell us what our goal is. You got to know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And what's the third thing that a Mangalacharana does? It's meant to give ashirbad, or benediction. So it offers us benedictions to everyone who reads it. Om Jnana Timirandasya, page 10. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunilatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vidham Dham Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita. That last line over again, a little slower. Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita. One more time, you could really taste it. Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Cha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Vracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Pravave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupa Nuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupa Nuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamba Rasambode Padambhujayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchit Ananda Namine Gaura Shakti Sarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virvava Bhomesvam Nirdesa Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Nancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam surato pangor mama manda mater gati matsarva swapadam bojo radha marana mohano divya vrindaranya kalpa dhrumadha srimad ratna gara singhasanasto srimad radha shila govinda devo prishtali bhi sevya manu smarami Sriman Rasharasarambi Vamshi Bhata Tatastita Karshan Venu Swaner Gopir Gopinatha Sriestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsi Devai Priyai Keshavasyacha Vishnu Pradidevi Satyavachaye Namo Namaha Sri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Nanashinga Pralhada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Not done yet. Supplementary verses. Vignapti Panchaka. It's an add-on. It's the secret of spiritual life. Keep adding on until there's nothing else. Matsamo nasti papa naparari chakashana parihare pilajame kimbruve purushottama yuvatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvatau yata mano biramate tadvan manamam tvayi o purushottam. There's no sinful person or offender who is equal to me. How can I describe my shame? Just as the minds of young ladies take pleasure in a young man, and the minds of young men take pleasure in a young woman, kindly let my mind take pleasure in you alone. Bhumau skalita paranam bhumir eva valambanam twayi jata parananam dhameva sharanam brabo. Just as the ground is the only support for those whose feet have slipped, so also you alone are the only shelter, even for those who have committed an offense to you. Govinda balabe radhe prateye tvam maham sada tadiyam iti janatu govindo mam tvaya saha. O Srimati Radharani, the dearest of Lord Govinda, this is always my request to you. Please let Lord Govinda, along with yourself, consider me to be one of your assistants. Radhe vrindavanadishe karuna amritavahini kripaya nijapadabja dasyam hayam pradiyatam. O Srimati Radharani, O Queen of Vrindavan, you are a river flowing with the nectar of mercy. Please be kind upon me and give me a little service at your lotus feet. Vande nanda vrjastrinam padurenam abhikshnasha yasam hari kato gitam punati bhuvanatrayam. I repeatedly offer my respects to the dust from the feet of the women of Nanda Maharaj's cowherd village. When these gopis loudly chant the glories of Sri Krishna, the vibration purifies the three worlds. Next page. On the back. Namasrestam manamapi shachiputram matrasarupam Sri Rupam Tasya Gajam Aruparim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramoho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Gurum Tamnatosmi. I bow down to the beautiful lotus feet of my spiritual master, by whose causeless mercy I have obtained the supreme holy name, the divine mantra, the service of the son of Sachimata, the association of Srila Swarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, and his older brother Sanatan Goswami, the supreme abode of Mathura, the blissful abode of Vrindavan, the divine Radhakund and Govardhan Hill, and the desire within my heart for the loving service of Sri Radhika and Madhava in Vrindavan. Adadhanas tridam danter, idam jache puna puna, Sri Madrupa padam bhoja, rajoham syam bhave bhave. Taking a blade of grass between my teeth, I repeatedly beg that birth after birth I may obtain the dust of Srila Rupa Goswami's lotus feet. Hantaya madhur abala haridasya varyo yadrama krishna charana svarasha pramoda manam tanoti sahago ghanayot tayo yat paniya suyavasa kandana kanda mulai. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan hill is the best. Oh, my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities, water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears to be very jubilant. Bhaktyavesha mano yasmin vachayan namakirtayan tyajan kalevaram yogi muchate kama karmabhi. The personality of Godhead, who appears in the mind of the devotee by attentive devotion and meditation and by chanting the holy name of the Lord, releases the devotee from the bondage of fruitive activities at the time of his quitting the material body. Please bring me the 10th canto, part 1, and also the 6th canto. So just as water can be purified after it's been contaminated, similarly the consciousness can become purified from the contamination of the three modes of material nature. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya prite aprinoti. Lord Rishabhadeva explains how karmatmaka yena sharira bandha, the consciousness becomes colored. It can becomes contaminated. It's called karmatmakam. And this causes sharira bandha, or bondage to the material bodily concept of life. So purification has to take place. Otherwise, there's no possibility of freedom and there's no possibility of happiness for the soul in the bodily concept of life. And in this verse, Bhishma Dev is giving this formula for purifying the consciousness, and that is through the vibration of transcendental sound. And by being in proximity to any kind of service which is related to the Lord, the senses naturally want to work. Nahi kashit shanam api jatu tischet karma krit karyate hyavasha part. Sarva prakriti jargunai, that the senses will naturally work, that they're going on, and so is the mind. Nahi kashit shanamapi jatu tishchet yakarmakit karyate hyavasha karma sarva prakriti jargunai. Means that the... Nahi kashit shanamapi jatu tishchet yakarmakit karyate hyavasha karma? Sarva prakriti jargunai means that the senses are always active and moving. You can't stop the senses, even when sarva prakriti jargunai. Page 51. Okay, let's look at it. Page 51 of the Shloka book. Nahi kashit shanamapi jatu tishchatya karma krit karyate hyavasha karma sarva prakriti jargunai. Translation: everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So restraint of the senses is not possible for very long, because the senses have their food and they want to be satisfied, and therefore even great sages like Vishvamrita, Subhara Muni, who attempted to, through the yogic process, control their senses, eventually come back to some kind of activity. Vishvamrita Muni was agitated when he heard the footbells of Menaka, and then he wanted to come back to material activity and became engrossed again in family life. Subhara Muni also. Therefore, the demigods, when they prayed to Lord Krishna within the womb, said that unless one has reestablished his relationship with Krishna and is tasting the happiness of that relationship, then whatever imagined kind of position he thinks he's achieved, he'll fall back down again from. Yene ravindaksha vamuktamaninas tvayasta bhavad avashudhabudaya aruya krishchena parampadam tata patantyato nadrita yushmanangraya. Means that intelligence is impure when one thinks he's attained some kind of position which is outside of relationship with Krishna, reestablishing one's relationship with Krishna. So the senses, when they're engaged in Krishna's service, become satisfied because Krishna is the master of the senses. Actually, Lord Kapiladev says that each one of the senses that we have, every limb on our body and every sense that we have, is controlled by a controlling demigod. And the demigods are servants of the Lord. So the senses, when they're engaged in Krishna's service, they actually become satisfied. Sarva pati vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchite. The senses are meant to be engaged in the service of Rishikesh, who is the master of the senses. And when they are, they feel satisfaction. And when they're not, they feel dissatisfaction. And one time the senses decided to go on strike. They said, why are we feeding the stomach all the time? And we have to do all the work. So we'll just stop working. And as they did, they got weaker and weaker and began to suffer. And then they reconvened and decided, no, we'll go back and feed the stomach. And immediately they became happy again and satisfied. So devotional service is the perfect way to enter into samadhi. And Srila Prabhupada talks about this in a famous verse, which is also from the prayers from the by the demigods to Lord Krishna while he was in the womb. And this verse says, Srinvan granam sansmanaram shatintayan namani rupani chamangalani te. Kriyasu yets chach charanara vindayor avishta cheta nabhavaya kalpate. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. How bhakti yoga can be practiced is explained in this verse. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that anyone who has dedicated his life to the service of the Lord, iha yasya harer dasye, by his activities, his mind, and his words, karmana manasa gira, may stay in any condition of life, nikilashu api avastasu, and yet is no longer actually conditioned, but is liberated, jivan muktasa uchite. Even though such a devotee is in a material body, he has nothing to do with his body, for he is transcendentally situated. Narayana paraksarvena kutashana bibhyati. Because a devotee is engaged in transcendental activities, he is not afraid of being materially embodied. Illustrating this liberated position, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitwai. All I want is your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. Even if a devotee, by the supreme will of the Lord, takes birth in this material world, he continues his devotional service. When King Bharata made a mistake and in the next life became a deer, his devotional service did not stop, although some slight chastisement was given to him because of his negligence. Narada Muni says that even if one falls from the platform of devotional service, he is not lost, whereas non-devotees are lost entirely because they are not engaged in service. Bhagavad Gita 9.14 therefore recommends that one always engage at least in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Do you know that verse? 9.14, recommending that one at least always chant the Maha Mantra. Satatam girtayantomam yatantascha dridavrata namashyantashtamam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, the great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. One should not give up the process of devotional service, which is performed in 9 different ways: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, etc. The most important process is hearing, Shravanam, from the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the spiritual master, and saintly acharyas and the Vedic literature. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Bhakya, Chitete, Kariya, Aikya. We should not hear the commentaries and explanations of non-devotees, for this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who quotes from the Padma Purana, Avaishnava kongirnam bhutam harikatam ritam shravananayava kartavyam sarpochishtam yatapaya. We should strictly follow this injunction and never try to hear from mayavadis, impersonalists, voidists, politicians, or so-called scholars. Strictly avoiding such inauspicious association, we should simply hear from pure devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends Sri Guru Padashraya. One must seek shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee who can be one's guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises that a guru is one who strictly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Jare Deka Tare Kaha Krishnupadesh. A juggler, a magician, or one who speaks nonsense as an academic career is not a guru. Rather, a guru is one who presents Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instructions as it is. Shravana is very important. One must hear from the Vaishnav, Sadhu, Guru, and Shastra. The word kriyasu, meaning by manual labor or by work, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, all our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. One may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature so that in the future he also may become a devotee. Such activities are recommended in this verse. Kriyasu yachchach charanara vindayo. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the Lord's lotus feet. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. What did you hear so far from the purport? One thing that you heard. You heard that you should distribute books. Krishna literature, yes? Could we have the microphones flowing around, please?
Another thing is to hear from the lips of pure devotees, to receive instructions from those who are in the Vaishnava Parampara system.
Okay. So two things we heard. One is distributing Krishna literature is very important, and the other is to hear from the lips of pure devotees. Jonathan has one.
I was just going to add to that, also reading the Shastra and reading the books also, so that we're having it from the lips of devotees, from the guru and from the Shastra.
So there's a stock of Vedic literature there, and one's meant to absorb one's mind in that. Srila Prabhupada talks about this in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, that we're meant to divert our minds to the spiritual world. That's why the literatures are there. Maya Mugda Jivar Nahi Swata Krishna Gyan Jivera Kripoya Koi Krishna Veda Puran. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Sanatana Goswami that particularly the Lord came as Veda Vyas to give us all kinds of literature which will help us to understand our constitutional position, our relationship with Krishna. And he says, Maya Mugda Jivera Nahi, that the Jiva is in Maya, Maya Mugda. He's bewildered. And he doesn't automatically come out of it. Maya mugda jivera nahi swata. Swata means automatically. So no one automatically just pops out of Maya. It's a nadi. It's going on forever. But with some kind of impetus from outside, one can come out of that Maya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that comes from the Vedic literature, that sound vibration. If you hear it, it's a purusheya. It's from the spiritual world. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadyavapyapi namanya nantasya nyashonkitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grinantya sadhava. That this Srimad Bhagavatam particularly is not from this world. It's from a different creation altogether. What creation is that? Krishna talks about it in the Bhagavad Gita. Na tad basayate shuryo na shashanko na pavaka yad gatva na nirvartante tad dhamma paramamama. That there's a spiritual world beyond the conditioned material nature, which is full of bliss, full of knowledge. It's not illumined by the sun or moon. It's self-luminous. And from that world, the transcendental literature comes. Tadvag visargo janatago viplavo. It's not from this creation. It's from a completely different place. And it's meant to create a revolution in the heart, to change the heart of the living being. So just by hearing it, hearing from the Vedic literature, we can become transformed. Namanyanantasya yashonkitaniyat. It's full of the names, qualities, pastimes of the Lord. It's heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. What else did you hear?
One should definitely and surely be serving the Lord through the Mahamantra. So that one should always, at minimum, try to chant the Mahamantra.
Oh, yeah, we did hear that. Nice. So Prabhupada quoted this verse, Satatam kirtayantamam yatantascha jidavrita. Namashyantashtamam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. So Krishna is saying this, satatam kirtayanto mam. Kirtayanto, kirta comes from kirti, which means to make someone famous. By chanting Hare Krishna, we're glorifying Krishna. So how often should we chant according to that verse?
Opera 7.
Satatam. Always chanting Hare Krishna. How is that possible? That one could come to the point of, isn't that a little fanatical? Always chanting Hare Krishna? Don't you people do anything else? Haridas Thakur did it. He chanted 24 hours a day. Can we do it? Is it recommended for us? Is it? Yes?
24 hours where one is thinking about Krishna, where it may not necessarily that one's mind is 24 hours focused on Krishna, but doing service for him and serving him. So with the nine processes, one fulfills that recommendation, which is being engaged 24 hours.
Well, the ideal is to be engaged 24 hours, that's for sure. And if we can chant 24 hours, Rupa Goswami says, Tanama Rupa Charitaru Sikirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasanamanasi Niyoja Tishtam Vraje Tananuragi Jananu Gami Kalam Nayet Akilamityu Padesha Sadam. One should use one's full time, 24 hours a day, to hear, chant, remember, serve the Lord. You were going to say it, Karuna? Microphone.
There's that verse, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mamanasmara Yudhyacha. For those of us who can't sit like Haridas Thakur and just chant japa for 24 hours, if we can chant japa for our prescribed 16 rounds, and then during the rest of the day, during whatever duties we have, whether we go to the office or a factory or whether we have to, pick up our kids from school and coach their little league team or whatever we have to do, we can still be remembering Krishna, chanting inside our mind to the extent possible.
What part of the purport was directly about that I just read? Do you remember? Kriyasu yat sach chadarnat avindayo. Prabhupada says that kriyasu, this word kriyasu means hard work. It means practical engagement. And he says that's very important in this verse. Kriyasu yat sach chadarnat avindayo. Any kind of work which is directly connected to the lotus feet of the Lord, he specifically mentions in this purport, book distribution, that if you're engaged in book distribution or any of the different aspects of it, that you're directly in contact with working for the Lord. And Prabhupada says this is practical samadhi because you're thinking of Krishna all the time. When you're distributing his books, you're thinking of Krishna because the books are about Krishna. So this is a way to be always engaged. However, we should also try to increase our hearing and chanting. The chanting of 16 rounds is minimum, 16 rounds. And if we steadily chant 16 rounds and engage in devotional service, and sometimes we can take days like Ekadashi or special holy days when we can increase the number of rounds and practice increasing, getting a taste for chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. As Krishna does say, Satatam Kirtayam Domam, that you should chant all the time. And in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, the 31st verse, in the verse, Sri Pram Bhavati Dharmatma, Shashvat Shantim Nagachati, Konteya Pratijanihi Nami Bhakti Pranashati, you'll find that Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that one should chant without stoppage. Can you chant without stoppage? Can anybody chant without stoppage here? I'm seriously asking. Can you or can't you? Can you chant without stoppage? So what's, Bhana said he can't, so what's stopping you? Let's talk about what's stopping us from chanting without stoppage. Give him two microphones for this one. On a practical level, what's stopping you? And after you, Hansapriya is ready to say what's stopping her.
On a practical level,
a little closer.
Because there's always,
and got to turn it on too.
It's on. Oh. I think it's on. Is it on?
Mm-mm.
Because
I didn't hear the first part before the because.
It's not. I find it not possible to chant without stoppage, mostly because my mind is absorbed in material thoughts, and therefore, because due to the intense mode of passion and ignorance, I feel impelled at some point to stop the chanting and get on to other activities. However, those activities sometimes are activities performed for the purpose of putting myself in a position where ultimately I can be chanting without stoppage. And so I'm performing my material duties, but with an idea that whenever I get free time, that I can remember to get back to the chanting. Because I think in the purport there also, when Prabhu was talking about book distribution, he was talking about how one easily chants or easily remembers. Was there something he says about easily?
The word kriyasu, meaning by manual labor, by work, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. In our Krishna conscious movement, all our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is very important. One may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature so that in the future he may also become a devotee. Such activities are recommended in this verse. Kriyasu yas chach charanat avindayo. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the Lord's lotus feet. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi.
Okay. Anyway, by the impetus for chanting comes from chanting. And so as we chant, gradually, as we chant more and more and go on in our devotional service, the impetus to chant more and more hopefully will be there. So although I can't chant without stoppage, I'm hoping at some point my activities will be such that they'll also induce me with the desire to chant more and more and remember to chant at whatever spare time is available.
Could you go back and just tell us the one thing, what's stopping us from chanting? What's stopping you from chanting?
Like material desire to engage in material activities.
Okay, so that means that there's if there's some other thought in the mind that's related to material activity, you're chanting, and then the mind says, go somewhere else. Let's do something else now. And then we stop chanting because we follow the mind. Like, what's some examples of what might practical happen, practically happening? Say you're going to chant 24 hours. Yes, Chris, give him the microphone.
I think that you're probably going to get hungry and want to eat food or drink.
Hunger is one thing. You might get hungry and you want to eat food, so your stomach makes a demand. We hear about this in the first verse of the Upadeshamrita, which we've been studying on Sundays. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udaropasta vegam. Itan vegam yo vishaheta dhira, sarvam apimam prithivim nashishyat. That every one of the senses has a vega, or an urge. So the stomach has an urge to eat. And when it's time to eat, the stomach loudly declares it's time to eat. What other kind of thing distracts us? Ramaswamy. I didn't forget you, Hansapriya. I know you got one back there.
One is a lack of taste for chanting. In the beginning, it just tastes bitter. So when there is no taste, it's very difficult to go on for a long time. Another thing I can think of is we all have to pay our bills. That means we have to go and work. Mm-hmm. And whenever we work, it's very difficult to chant because we have to focus on the work.
Mm-hmm. Nice point. So let's talk really quickly about the getting a taste. We read this morning from the Shikshashtakam a way that Lord Chaitanya recommended that we can have a taste so that we can chant all the time. What is that? Who said that? Narhari Dev? Trinadapi Sunichena. Trinad means like grass. Trinadapi Sunichena. So one should feel oneself to be very lowly, like the grass. This is how he says to get a taste. Because at the end he says, Kirtaniya Sadahari. You can't chant without a taste, right? So how to get a taste, Lord Chaitanya says, you should feel, first of all, feel yourself very lowly like grass. How low is grass? Everyone steps on it, it just bends over. Okay, so Trinadapi Suni Chena. What else does he say in the formula? So he says to be like a tree, right? And what are the qualities of a tree that we should adopt? So tolerance. We develop tolerance. This is beginning instruction Lord Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. Matra sparsha stukontaya shitoshna sugadukada agama payino nityas tamsta tiksha shvabharata. You should become titiksha and learn how to tolerate. What kind of things do we have to tolerate every day? The weather, yeah, yesterday was really hot. I didn't start gardening last night until about 9 o'clock in the evening because it was too hot to go out. The weather is one thing, heat and cold. What else do you have to tolerate? Distress from everyday living, which comes from the mind, it comes from the body, it comes from other living entities, it comes from the weather.
All external conditions.
Internal, external. Anything specific? Your boss. Yeah, you have to tolerate what your boss tells you. There could be some, you know, conflict or something like that. These things are all, there are all kinds of ways that we have to tolerate all the time. Trinadapi sunichena toror iva suhishnuna. So to be like a tree, be like the grass. What else? What's the injunction? Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So that means to be ready to give all respects to others. And what else? And not expecting it. So how do you get ready for that? Be ready to offer all respects to others and not expect any respect for yourself. How do you get ready for that one?
Cooperate.
Bhakti Leon knows. Huh?
Cooperate with the situation comes in.
Cooperate with the situation? Okay, but how do you get ready for it? To give all respects to others. Bhakti Jonathan.
One way is to realize that we're not this body. And once you get away from the bodily concept and thinking, I am this, I am all of these things that I own, it's much easier to not expect anything for this body and to see that in others, they're not that body, but they're spirit soul. So you have utmost respect for everybody, and you know, not for yourself, not for the body.
That's a nice point, but can I make a slight amendment to the beginning part? You said it's a good way, or it's a way. I would say it's the only way, because if I think I'm the body, there's only so long I can tolerate something, and then I'll give in. But if I know I'm not the body, if I understand that fact, then I can tolerate anything practically. And also show respect to other living entities. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavihashtani Shuni Chaiva Shapake Cha Pandita Samadarshina. A learned person, pundit, actually sees equally all kinds of living entities. So he sees the souls there. So he treats them with respect. If I don't see like that, sooner or later I'm going to find somebody repulsive or annoying or something like that. Yes, Akurnath Prabhu. There's one coming from behind you.
You know, we can see how we tend to be hypocritical or double standards in the way, just like right now there's been these political conventions, and you see how, or for example, I'm a lawyer, and I see how in the way people argue their cases, they see what's good about their case and they see what's bad about the other side's case because they're motivated in order to win, in order to make money and stuff. But if we want to be fair-minded, we can think about times when we've made mistakes or we've done things like the mistakes that other people are doing. You know, we can see how, you know, like they say, there but for the grace of God go I, or something. When someone is being rude, you know, when someone cuts you off while you're driving or something like that, rather than thinking disrespectfully about that person, one can understand how that person's in Maya. They're conditioned by the modes of nature. They're in the mode of passion. They're trying to get somewhere fast. It's a difficult situation where everybody's trying to get along. So we can, you know, by being introspective and seeing how we've behaved in the past, and we can try to turn that natural... The natural double standard is to think very well of ourselves and think very, you know, be very insensitive or not very, what's the word, charitable, you know, to others. We could try to turn that around.
Sort of the opposite of Lord Chaitanya's advice, right?
Right.
So Lord
right.
Chaitanya says, be ready to offer all respects to others and don't expect any respect for yourself. But you're saying that in the default mode of material consciousness is that I need respect all the time from everybody else, and then I don't care very much for giving respect to others. Material consciousness means someone's glorified, and then I think, well, they weren't that good. I mean, or, you know, make some comment, yeah, but but I saw, you know, I see the other days when he's not doing that. You know, so the opposite of that is really to be able to offer respect to all, yes.
I was remembering Prabhupada once said, you know, talk about this default mode, that if you hear somebody has become a high court judge, you say, that person, that must be a mistake. He didn't become a high court judge. They say, no, it is a fact. I've seen him on the bench. He's, you know, he's making rulings and stuff. And then you say, oh, well, he probably doesn't get paid very much.
Yeah, so these are all... you know, going towards tolerance and material consciousness. And I want to go back to something that Banabhata Prabhu said about how if I'm offensive in my chanting or I'm chanting and I don't have a taste, the only remedy is to go on chanting. Nama parada yuktana naman yeva harantyagam. Avishrani prayuktani naman yeva harantyagam. The Shastra gives this injunction that if I'm an aparadi while I'm chanting, what can I do? Give up? I've seen it before. Sometimes devotees have thought that because I'm offensive, therefore I won't chant. You know, I'm too offensive to chant, so I won't chant. But Shastra says, somehow or other, go on chanting. Because in the course of chanting Namaparad, there's three stages. Of course, there's the offensive stage, there's the clearing stage, and then there's the pure stage of chanting. And while I'm chanting, if I go on chanting continually, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, at some time, even if just for an instant I'm chanting in the clearing stage, this gives great impetus and insight for understanding that I'm not my body. And it also gives a clear insight in how to get good association. Namabhaso pyudyan kavalita bhavadvanta vibhavo drisham tatvan danam api dishati bhakti pranayanim. Rupa Goswami says in the prayers that we usually read here that the name is so powerful that in the abhas stage or in this clearing stage, yadabhaso pyudyan kavalita bhavadvanta vibhavo, that it will swallow up all the darkness. Whatever darkness, this means the bodily conception of life that we're in. Just a tiny bit of namabhas will clear that. Drisham tatvandanam api dishati bhakti pranayanam. And those who are blind to the truth, who can't understand anything, by the power of the holy name, they'll awaken. And they'll be able to understand bhakti even, you know, through that process. So continually chanting, even when we don't have taste, that's challenging. But it's challenging in anything, like when you don't have a taste for playing the piano because you're not very good at it. It's really hard to sit down and practice, isn't it? When you have a little bit more expertise and you can play something, then it's a lot nicer. So coming to the stage of clearing and then pure chanting is a great task. And we've named a few things. One is to cultivate humility and to learn to give respect to others and not take respect for oneself. And it's, in the translation, it says one should be ready to do this. So it means we should actually think about it, prepare for it, because the default position of the mind is to want respect and to not give respect to others. So we actually have to cultivate that. That's what we do in our Vaishnava Association, in our Sangha. We offer respects to the devotees. We glorify the devotees. And we cultivate this respect. Rupa Goswami talks about how there are 24 qualities of a devotee. And one of those qualities is taking shelter of devotional service as the prime goal of life. If someone's lacking all the other qualities but has that one, in other words, there can be a way in which somebody's lacking all other qualities except for this one thing that they're trying to take shelter of devotional service. And Rupa Goswami says you should consider them to be a Vaishnav. And Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyag vyavasitohisa. That even if a devotee performs the most abominable kinds of activities, you see externally that they're very much connected still with worldly activities. But if that person is engaged in devotional service, at the same time, he's to be considered saintly, Krishna says. You shouldn't mistake it and denigrate such a person. These are injunctions which are given very strongly by Krishna. Samyag vyavahitohisa, that he says very strongly that you must do this. So, it's a relief, actually, to give respect to all others and to not take respect for oneself, because that that kind of taking respect from others all the time, Raghunath Das Goswami describes it in his prayers to the mind. He's identifying it, he's saying in his own mind, how the mind always wants respect. That whatever I do, look around and see, did I get noticed for that? You know, who's going to glorify me for this one? And this is a distinction also. I may come to devotional service and then think that now I have some position or I have some distinction. So Rupa Goswami describes this, it's called pratishta, as being like the stool of a hog. So everyone, most people here probably know that hogs eat stool. And if you don't know that, then you just have to go to Vrindavan and you'll see it for yourself. So, you know, eating stool is a really a low kind of activity, to say the least. But what is the stool of a hog? He's eating stool and then he's passing stool. So Raghunath Das Goswami says that is what that kind of desire for distinction is like in relationship with our advancing in devotional service. It's like the stool of a hog. It's odious, it's something that we should keep far away from. So that will help our chanting if we cultivate this kind of humility, pridelessness, giving respect to others, and not expecting respect for ourselves. And it's a great burden to carry around distinction. And therefore, Queen Kunti says, Janmaishvara Shruta Shribir Edamana Madapuman Naivar Hat Yaditatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. That if someone's thinking that I'm going to advance myself materially in some way, and there are different kinds of opulences and ways to advance materially, like through my birth, if I'm puffed up. Of course, everyone's puffed up by this connection to the material body. There's an old saying that even a pauper is proud of his penny. And but, you know, to the degree that we are, it hinders our devotional service. So janma aishvarya shruta shribir. So my birth, my learning, my beauty, my wealth, all these kinds of things, if I'm holding on to those as my qualification, then Queen Kunti says, I'm not qualified to be sincere in devotional service. However, she says, if I feel that I'm an akinchana, kinchana means something, and akinchana means not something, I don't have anything. If I can conjure this feeling, which is actually real, it's actually a fact that our heart is beating right now and we don't know how it's beating. Do you know how it's beating? Do you know how your food's being digested? And neither do, as I've found out, these scientists who study the heart, because once I was in San Francisco at the airport distributing books, and there was a convention for 5 days at Moscone Center, and it was all for cardiac scientists, people who studied the heart for different reasons. It was a huge science fair. And I met at least 100 of these scientists who came from all over the world, who made it their life's goal to study the heart. And I asked them all one question. What was that? What do you think it was? What makes the heart beat? And no one knew. Not one person knew what made the heart beat. They said, oh, we don't really know. It just, you know, it's going on. It's a muscle, this and that. But, you know, what's making it beat, we don't know. And what makes it stop also, Satyadev Prabhu, who is a medic, you know, he used to say, the heart stops all the time. It's just going, going, and all of a sudden just stops. And we don't really know why, you know. So my point is, we're helpless. I'm in a body, the digestion, the heartbeat, everything's going on by somebody else's control. And then I think that I'm the controller. But if I can actually be aware of the fact that I'm not the controller, and any second this can be taken away, it's a gift. The body is a gift. Nridehaṁ ādyaṁ sulabhaṁ sudurlabhaṁ plavaṁ sukalpaṁ guru karanadāraṁ. It's a great gift given to us. And just thinking about that, how helpless I am when I chant, or at other times, is very helpful to cultivate this kind of mentality of being helpless and not having anything. Akinchana, nothing. What do you have? I don't have anything. And that way, Krishna can help us if we call out to him like that. Then in true feeling, we can say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Then I can have a taste. And to come to this consciousness means we actually have to endeavor for it and think about it and put ourselves in that position. Remember that I'm helpless, and then chant Hare Krishna. What else? Yes.
You mean what else from did we hear in the purport? That
you read? What else from anything?
One thing, it said that not only should you hear from pure devotees, but you shouldn't hear from politicians and mundane scholars. You only hear from pure devotees.
Yeah, and you know, there's a garbage in, garbage out. What we hear, it actually, you know, accumulates in our consciousness. And if we can keep ourselves engaged in talking about Krishna and hearing about Krishna, then that's what we'll think about. And there are all kinds of distractions nowadays from sound vibration that comes from all different directions. The biggest, I think, it seems to me, one of the biggest distractions in human society nowadays is the television. When I go for a walk in the evening around my neighborhood and look in the window, everyone's sitting watching television. And when I go door to door to distribute books, sometimes I think, well, they're doing something important, maybe I don't want to bother them. But when I open the door and look in, everyone's watching television or the television's watching them. Sometimes now people don't even watch television, they just turn it on just to have a company all day long. Yeah, really, because it's a sound vibration in the background. And there's a way in which the heart becomes so accustomed to hearing hearing material vibration that, I get addicted to it. There's an addiction to material sound vibration. And it takes a while to get free from these addictions to these kind of vibrations. And however, the best thing I heard about television is there was a movement a while back called Cut the Cord. Just cut the cord, and then you try to plug it in. It doesn't work. But television is a big distraction. There's all kinds of things going around in the airwaves that pollute the consciousness. And so somehow we're to plan our lives so that we can hear transcendental sound vibration regularly and get a taste for it will help us to advance in devotional service. It's really the sum and substance of the process. And just as I heard Srila Prabhupada saying that he saw some businessmen when he was going around preaching with his Back to Godhead magazine, sometimes he'd get an appointment to meet some big industrialist or something like that. And out of a whole schedule in the week, the person would have 2 minutes, Prabhupada said. Do you know people like this? They're so busy, their schedule's so crammed together, working on something like some business or something. They don't call it busyness for nothing. But they can give you like 2 minutes, okay? I'll give you, and that's a big thing. To get 2 minutes with a big man is like a big deal. So Prabhupada said for devotees, it's the same thing. Their schedule is so full with devotional activities all the time, 24 hours a day, that if you want to talk to them, you make a schedule, and 2 minutes is a big thing. Avyarta kalatvam. This is one of the symptoms, actually, if somebody's advancing in devotional service. Avyarta kalatvam means that a devotee doesn't want to waste even one moment, even 1 second. If you feel that urge that you start getting in deep anxiety when somebody's wasting your time or you're doing something that's not somehow connected to your service, then you know that you're developing in devotional service. On the other hand, if I'm chanting or hearing or whatever, and then I start feeling like, I need a break, a TV break from this sound vibration of the Bhagavatam to make myself feel better, then I can know that I'm still addicted to the sound. But just as getting free from addiction to any kind of thing, we have to become free from our addiction to the modes of material nature. And the best way is just like if you have a glass full of ink, and if you pour milk into it continuously, gradually all the ink will come out, and then the milk will replace it. And so there's a thing called mission creep. Have you ever heard of that before? Mission creep? Creep means like to, gradually move ahead on something. So sometimes, like Iraq, the U.S. government went to Iraq with this idea that they'd be out of there in a week or so. And I don't know if they're still there, but I haven't heard the news for a while. But I have a feeling they probably are. And, they started off with this little idea that, we'll go in and we'll be out in a week or so and everyone will throw roses at us and, we'll conquer the Middle East and have enough oil for everybody or whatever the idea was. But then gradually, we need another month's worth of money from Congress, and then another month, and then it goes on at 7, 10, 15 years, and you're still there. And also it expands into other countries, and other people are shooting at you, so you have to shoot back, and gradually, it turns into a full-scale conflagration that can't be stopped. That's kind of like mission creep, or, when you start a little project, and then it expands into other projects. So we should have mission creep, but in the positive sense, devotional service, that a little bit at a time, we find ways to increase our service. And a little bit of a time, if you're strong in your vrat, you're hearing and chanting of Hare Krishna, or you're hearing of Shastra, then add a little bit more that you can handle. And that's like pouring the milk in. It gradually expands and starts to take over your life. And that's a good thing. We want Krishna to take over our life and take our material life away from us. These obligations that we have, gradually they'll go away. Nashya prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Just by hearing the Bhagavatam regularly, it's so powerful in the association of devotees that gradually the need and the impetus to engage in material activities will diminish. Even our obligations in the material world gradually will go away. And there's a point at which, says Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, tavat karma na kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata shravanadova shradayavana jayate. When one's faith is so full that I don't have to do anything else except for devotional service, that person doesn't have to do anything else but devotional service. That's a fact. I mean, we really are not obligated to take care of the body, ultimately. We think we are, because I think I'm the body, therefore I think I have to take care of the body or I'll die. But the fact is, I won't die, because I never do die. But I'm totally identified with the material world and all my duties here to my family, to my nation, to everything else, so I think that I have to do this. And this verse that Uddhava hears from Krishna, it says the same thing. If you think that, then you have to keep doing it. But when you come to the point of full faith that by doing bhakti, shraddha shabde vishwas kahe surida nishchoy krishna bhakti koila sarva karma krita hoy, and you know that there is nothing else to do, everything else is a total, absolute waste of time, if you're convinced of that, and that the only thing worth doing is direct devotional service one way or the other, then you don't have to do anything else. You really don't have to do anything else. You can totally dedicate yourself to devotional service. And Bhagavatam says, you won't be penalized at all. Devarshi bhutatnan rinam pitrinam nakinkaro nayam ranicha rajan sarvatmaraya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam pariyahritakartam. Because you've completely surrendered to Mukunda, completely. Therefore, all your other obligations that you used to have, when you were born, you had obligations, you had debts to pay to everybody, and there's all kinds of sinful reactions that are going on because just from us walking around and breathing and all these types of things. If I totally surrender, then I don't have those obligations anymore. And if there is, even while I take that up, if I transgress and I fall back again, Supada mulam bhajata priyasya tektanya bhavasya hare parayashaha. Vikarma yachchot patitam katanchit dunoti sarvam hridi sandivishta. The Lord Krishna himself says, if you take up this kind of life where you're fully dedicated to devotional service, and somehow or other you fall back again into vikarma activity due to some glitch, you know, past memory comes up, something happens, Krishna will cover for you. Because he knows what your momentum is. He knows what your idea is, that you're trying to surrender, that this is what you want to do. So he'll cover for you. From within the heart, he'll arrange everything. So you don't even have to do prayaschitta, and you keep going in devotional service. So Narada Muni says that we should not endeavor for those things that we've been endeavoring for over and over again in the material world and not getting. We've tried, everyone's tried, and to get some happiness by adjustment in the material world, but it's just not possible. And so he said, if you try for that, you're going to go on wandering in the material world. But if you try for this other thing, which means to chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day and to be engaged in devotional service exclusively, which is a process, then even if you get a little bit of it, you've really got something. And the other thing, if you get it, it's not worth anything anyway. So we should try for this. We should actually try for this. From whatever situation we're in now, we should try to increase a little bit at a time. Yes? Microphone? Yes.
You are are saying that, you know, we should try to engage, you know, devotional service as much as we can. But sometimes it becomes very tough. For example, what if a person thinks that, you know, I should be a very advanced at my devotional life and also at my professional life. So in this case, it becomes very hard to concentrate, you know, in our devotional life. Mm. Because, you know, when you want to develop your professional life, you really need that kind of thinking, you know, some significant time to contribute it to develop those kind of skills, right? So in this case, it's become very hard for a person to focus on both of these issues.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, so the answer is that if you are engaged regularly in devotional service, like you're doing, and you also have a professional life, like you obviously have, right? Because your purpose is, in your professional life, to maintain your body and whatever standard of living you have to have at the present time, because you've added devotional service as your purpose in life, even if it's on a smaller level than what your professional life is. Maybe right now your professional life is 98% energy and devotional life. I'm not saying you, but I'm just taking an example. And then your devotional life is 2%. If that 2%, that 2% is so powerful, it's so valuable, that if that's there, then the other 98% also gets counted as devotional service because it's going to support that 2%. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there's two aspects to our life. One is our material duties, our professional life that we have to do. It's obligatory. And the other is, even more obligatory, but we don't know it yet, is our devotional life. And in the beginning, it's way out of balance towards our professional duties and such. And gradually, we adjust it as we go forward. And a good example is making yogurt. When you have a huge pot of milk and you add a little bit of yogurt culture to that milk and you put it in the right environment, over a period of time, the whole pot will turn to yogurt as well. So devotional service is so powerful that if you give it full concentration when you're doing your 2%, then the rest of that will gradually transform the rest of your professional life. And as I said, it's a process. We're not recommended at any time to artificially wrench ourselves out of what we're doing. And, you know, of course, Arjuna brought that up on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and said, you know, why don't I just drop this warrior gig and go off and, you know, do something else? And Krishna said, no. Karmane vedakaraste mapalishu kadachana. He said, you're qualified to work and do your work and then give the fruit of your work. But that'll gradually lead you to this other position. So Krishna consciousness is a process. And we look at the ideal. We're talking about the ideal of being engaged 24 hours a day in hearing and chanting. But to get there, if I artificially do more than I can now, then it's not attractive. If I do less, it's also not attractive. But all I have to do is engage properly. And to do that, it's important to have guidance. You know, we should be in the Association of Devotees. We should take guidance and be able to engage properly in what we can now in our devotional life, and it'll increase gradually, step by step. Hansapriya. Please.
My personal experience of achieving the work, the position at work or the outcomes, the better outcome at the works, has not given me the balance of peace of mind. So I think to me it helps me to just have, okay, I need to get the work done. I need to achieve some success at work. But it has the peace in mind which gets from the doing devotional service or associating with the devotees has given me the clear sense of what the highest goal is. And when the mind is peaceful, it also helps me to success in my work career as well.
Thank you. And when you were saying that, I was thinking how it's actually good to be irritated by our material situation, because that becomes an impetus, really. When Krishna is kind to us, he'll make it difficult. Yasyaham anagrinnami harishe tadanam shanai. That, you know, he knows exactly what we want on the material side. In fact, we were just reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how he knows very well what our mentality is. And when we take to devotional service, if we then think that, now I changed my mind, I want some material desire, Krishna will frustrate that material desire to push us back into devotional service. And so if we're feeling frustration on the material side, that's Krishna's mercy, actually. Rakshit Prabhu.
I just wanted to make one follow-up comment on professional work and devotional service, that they are not necessarily separate or mutually exclusive, if you will. It goes back, as you referred to, that Arjuna wanted to leave the battlefield, and Krishna says, no, stay there and fight. And so one's work can also be dedicated to Krishna. I'm reminded about another verse along the same lines that you cited, which is from the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's instruction to Arjuna. This is 8:7, page 100 of Shloka book. He's telling, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. So he's telling him, do your work, but dedicate it to me. As you said, one is giving the fruit of the result, fruit of one's work to Krishna. And the other thing is, even while one is working, one is thinking of Krishna. It's not that when you're carrying out your activity that you're going to lose your concentration by thinking of Krishna. But no, there can be the thought that I'm doing it for Krishna because I'm dedicating my work to him. I'm going to give the fruits of the results to him, and that my work may also help people, etc. But I'm doing it for Krishna. Just like Arjuna was told to stay on the battlefield and fight because he's a Kshatriya, in the same way somebody else's profession may be something else that is in keeping with their nature, that they are true to the nature by doing the work, but they're dedicating it to Krishna while thinking about it.
Thank you. So we've come to the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam class, and we've covered quite a few subjects, things to think about. There's some practical things about cultivating humility, giving respect to others, not expecting respect for oneself, about how to remember Krishna while we're working, about adding devotional service to our lives and how it transforms everything else, ultimately. We also talked about, what else? A couple more things. Be careful who you hear from, because it's actually going into your consciousness. A couple more things? We need the microphone.
Are the duties towards your family considered materialistic or devotional?
It depends on your family. So, as an example, can you grab me the 10th canto, 14th chapter, please? In Vrindavan, in Gokula Vrindavan, are there a bunch of yogis walking around? You've read Krishna book. Who are the residents of Vrindavan?
Cowherders.
Do they have families?
Yes.
What else do they have? What else do they have? Children? What else? Monkeys? Huh? Cows? They have lots of cows. Do they have any household paraphernalia? You say yes, they have butter? And what other kind of household paraphernalia do they have? Huh? How do you know that they have pots? Because Krishna used to break them. That's how you know. Krishna used to break them. And when they moved from one place to the next, they used to pack them up in a cart. Didn't Krishna, remember Krishna when he was a little baby? He was lying under the cart, and there was a cart demon there. And he kicked his little lotus foot, and it smashed the cart. And what went flying around? All the pots and pans and everything else, right? So these Vaishnavas, they're considered to be the greatest of all Vaishnavas, right? They're the pinnacle of devotional service. So they are they renunciates? They don't have anything? No, they have everything. They're attached to their home. How do we know they're attached to their home? Are they attached to their homes? What pastime do we know that they're very, very attached to their homes? To Vrindavan especially. The Jamuna, yes. Uh-huh.
Lifting the
boat. What?
Lifting the
boat. So, give them the microphone. I want to hear the explanation for this. How this proves that... Yeah, well, okay, go ahead. Let's hear.
When there was rainfall, all the cows were getting distressed, and their whole house was getting flooded, so they requested Krishna, please save the cows and save us also.
Yeah. So they went, they asked Krishna, please save us, please save Vrindavan, please save our homes. What other pastime? Yes. Microphone.
When the gopis meet Krishna at the Kurukshetra, so they were not at all happy for anything. They say, no, this is not our home. We'll go back to Vrindavan where everything is there, like cows, our houses, everything that's so much attached to Vrindavan, especially the cows, the houses, everything, paraphernalia. So they're not at all happy. Even though Krishna is there, they say, like, we'll go back to Vrindavan, so come to Vrindavan.
Bravo. Exactly. Yes. They couldn't. Krishna was there. And they said, we can't really enjoy with you here because we want to see the Jamuna behind you. We want to be home with you. So they're very attached. So I'll give you one last verse. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Now this better be good after I made you wait for so long. This is from the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, which is a very, very important chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam's Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. This chapter contains the essence of all of our Siddhanta. So it's a good thing during Kartik you can read the whole chapter every day. It's one thing that you can go start getting ready for Kartik now, what vow you're going to take. But this is a nice chapter. So here is the verse I wanted to introduce into evidence. It's text 36. Tavat ragadayastenas, tavat kara graham graham, tavan mohangri nigado, yavat Krishna natejana. My dear Lord Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves. Their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. So you don't have to change anything except for your consciousness. That's the idea. And Lord Chaitanya recommended sthanesthita shrutigatam tanavan manobir. You don't have to quit your job, your day job anyway, and but you do have to add Krishna Katha and the association devotees. And especially we've been talking over and over again the last few days, there are five items out of the 64 of devotional service which are particularly powerful, and those are deity worship, association with devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, Sankirtan, living in a holy place, and? Reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So those five, even if one doesn't have faith in them entirely, but is non-offensive and has some connection with those five items, that devotee will make advancement very rapidly in devotional service. What to speak of, you fully apply to those and you add it in. So you don't have to give up anything except for your material attachment, and that comes by adding Krishna. Om Tat Sat. Yes, Ramaswamy. Hare Krishna.
Regarding the devotees in the gopas and gopis being attached to Vrindavan, I heard that when they met Krishna in Kurukshetra, even Radharani also asks Krishna to come back to Vrindavan, because and then I heard that it's not that Radharani actually wants, he's attached to Vrindavan, because she knows that that's where Krishna is going to get ultimate pleasure.
Mm.
And that's the reason, to make him happy, that's the reason why she wants him to go back to Vrindavan. And I'm just thinking that maybe that's the mood of gopis and the gopas also.
Absolutely, yes. Good point. Thank you very much. Very nice. Okay, so we're going to have Guru Puja, and then Prashadam, and then tonight at 5:30, we're going to have a huge program here with His Holiness Radhanath Swami, who's flying in, not at 11:30, but a little later. He changed his flight. You knew. Okay, so let's put the books back in an orderly manner, and then we'll have a Guru Puja, and then we'll have Prashadam. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.